Hi, my name is Duncan, and we are the Fantasy Football Fanatics. I'm joined by Matt in London, Ben in LA, and Andy in San Fran. It's good to have us all together again. Welcome back, Ben. As you missed last week, I'm going to come to you first for your football highlight of this game week.
Cool. Hi, I'm back. my football highlight of this week is Heung-min's son escaping military service. So love Son the player. He's a good FPL player. Round if Korea did not win the Asian Cup, I think it was, they all had to do military service, which kind of sucks. So they beat Japan, and I don't know if you guys saw at the end of the game, like literally the players are all in tears of joy because they've managed to escape. Not because they've won the cup, but because they've managed to escape military service for 2 years, which is kind of a terrible motivating factor for players, but I guess it worked. So that was my football highlight of the week.
Did you watch the game? Are you that committed, or was it just a highlight?
I saw the highlights. Basically, all the teams send out their under 23 players, but I think you're allowed to have one or two players over 23. So I saw the goals. They won 2-1 in extra time. And then I saw the reactions after the game. Like, players in tears. So, yeah.
Bad news for Lucas Moura owners if Son's coming back.
Potentially.
Good one.
He's on great form, though, Moura, isn't he? So he might... It might be that Son gets a few more games off. Given that Moura's on good form, it's not like imperative to get him right back into the team.
Yeah, I think it'll take some time, for sure.
Okay, dragging you back to real football just for a little bit. Andy, what was your football highlight of this game week?
So, it's a bit of an odd one as a Man U fan, but I have a particular hatred for this thing when players, like, put their foreheads together and start shouting at each other. I think that's... like the most ridiculous thing ever, like behaving like moose rather than people. So I was pleased that consistency happened and Rashford was sent off for that, because I feel like that might be a long-term change in the rule where that becomes a very risky thing for players to do. So the more players get sent off for that, the happier I'll be. So and in order to sort of be consistent in that, even when it's a Man U player, I have to also be happy, right? So I'm calling that out as my highlight of the week.
And the Man U game, not the Man U win?
Well, I'm not really convinced by the win. I think it was more about Burnley being awful than it was about Man U being good. The goals that we scored, one of them was like a goal-mouth scramble. Lukaku still managed to miss loads of chances. Pogba still managed to miss a penalty. Like... It wasn't a great, like, Man U resounding win performance. It was just sort of beating a team that were even worse than us.
So the big test comes in the next game week, where you're up against the top of the league, Watford.
Quite. They obviously upped their game as well to match their opposition. So we'll see.
I like our pink kits, though.
I like the pink kits too.
The pink kits. Yeah, I like them. They're good.
I haven't seen them. I'm going to have to check this out.
They're a kind of pastel pink.
That's even worse.
You have to sort of, from when you're just watching the game normally, it looks like a white kit, but then when you get a close up on the player, you realise it's pink.
Oh, tasteful. Matt, how about you? What was your football highlight of the week?
Well, I didn't actually watch much football this weekend, so I really only saw the end of the Watford game. So in that 10-minute window of football watching I've done this weekend, I particularly enjoyed Isaac's success coming onto the field and then getting booked for time-wasting. Therefore, my cheap player that I never play managed to get himself 0 points, and it just made me chuckle.
I was impressed to see that he actually played. You put him in your wildcard team, and I was thinking... why has he picked Isaac's success? He hasn't even played. I haven't seen him play for ages. And then he came on and looked a bit of a handful as well.
Yeah, I think he's like the best of the 4.5 million strikers, which isn't saying much. and he will never get a game in my team. I mean, hopefully, unless I have lots of injuries. So it was novelty to see him come on. I was like, oh, hooray, my man, I can support a player in this game. And then he probably gets himself booked. It's like, oh, well done. Great.
Actually, you've just reminded me. I also have another highlight, which was Cenk Tosun's fantastic performance this week.
You're being sarcastic.
No, I thought it was. He really showed what he's made of this week.
Yeah, so not a lot. Okay, my football highlight of the week was Andre was Lacazette. Can't even remember his first name. Alexander Lacazette. Starting, looking really dangerous at the spearhead of the Arsenal attack with Aubameyang there as well. He was my highlight. And his goal, scoring like Batistuta used to score from, you know, an acute angle, smashing into the roof of the net. I thought he was brilliant. And he's been pushing for that start for so long. He should have played. Every time he's come on the pitch in games this season, he's looked dangerous, and Arsenal have suddenly looked dangerous. And yeah, this game pegged back twice, but we always looked like we were going to score more goals. So yeah, great shout from Andy last week, picking him as his gut punt for this week when it wasn't even certain he was going to start. And he gets bonus and scores. So yeah, props to Andy.
You should really pick him for my team, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should really start using all these predictions, these powers. Okay, game week's review. So we've got three wildcard teams to have a look at. So Ben, me and Matt all wildcarded last week. Matt even wildcarded live on the pod without telling anyone. So we're going to see how we've done. First up, with the highest score this week, 54 points, is Ben.
Yep, so we all wildcarded, but my team and Matt's is pretty similar. So, so I basically made the decision to wildcard before last week's pod, just to be clear. And I did it because I had a couple of injuries. My bench was non-playing, and I really wanted to get the Ram. I tweeted about the Ram, Robertson, Alonso, Mendy. I wanted to get them before there were too many price rises. So I have, Robertson, Alonso, Mendy all returned. I played one Bissaka who got 0 points. Palace, I think we thought were going to win that game, but they didn't. And I think missing Tompkins in the back and missing Zaha really affects them. So that's something to keep in mind going forward, if those injuries. I've gone for two rotating 4.5 goalkeepers. So I have Patricio for Wolves, who played pretty well this week, but I benched him. And I have Ryan for Brighton. In midfield, Salah blanked. I got Hazard for Mane. They both returned the same this week. Felt really kind of bad for dropping Mane, but the reason I did it was, I don't know if you guys have seen, but Liverpool have this insane fixture run, not even just Premier League. So they have Tottenham next, then they play PSG in Champions League, then Southampton, then Chelsea in the League Cup, then Chelsea in the Premier League, then Napoli in the Champions League, and then Man City in the Premier League, all within 3 weeks. So I looked at that and was like, there's definitely going to be some rotation. So that's why I went Hazard. I'm pretty happy he returned. I have Mkhitaryan. Surprising that he got dropped this week. I wasn't expecting that. So that's probably the one area that the wild card didn't really work out. And then I have a front line of Aguero, who got an assist, Mitrovic, who scored a goal, and then Wilson blank, but had a really good chance against City. So pretty happy. I think my wild card team scored more points than my previous one, so that's always good. And yeah, pretty happy. My 4.5 midfielder, I did a lot of research. So I got this guy called Billing from Huddersfield.
Phil Bells.
And I chose him because I saw some random comment that of all the 4.5 midfielders, he has the best like heat map in terms of positioning. And then he actually scored and got full bonus, which is good to see. But he's last on my bench, so I mean, whatever. But
as we all know, he's a big listener of the podcast. He also picked up on me and Matt taking the piss out of his hair against Man City. He's toned down the hair colour, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, he heard the criticism and he responded.
Yeah, with a goal as well. Yeah, I think, I mean, your team is very similar to Matt, so probably don't have to go too far into Matt's team. But your bench, quite strong this week. Billing with 9 points, Bennett with 5 points, Patricio with 7. Yeah, looking good. I'm quite impressed with your wildcard team.
Yeah, I think the only downside is I don't know what's happening with Mkhitaryan and Arsenal. I wasn't expecting him to be dropped, so I'll probably see what's going to happen there.
Okay. Next up is Matt with 53 points, just behind Ben. I think you've only got one player different. Is that correct, Matt?
No, our benches are different. But yeah, only one outfield player this week was different.
Okay, talk us through your game week.
So I'm going to say, yeah, what Ben said.
Yeah, okay, anything to add? Walcott?
And then, yeah, just briefly on Walcott. I mean, everyone was putting in Walcott this week. I think he was the most popular transfer in. And then he played 56 minutes and trolled everyone. So that was a bit annoying. We'll see about Walcott and Mkhitaryan going forward. They might be my immediate transfers post wild card. Bench of Wolf players. I've got Neves and Doherty. They both did quite well. But they're on the bench. So yeah, pretty solid week. But got lots of price rises. So wild card was overall a success, I'd probably say.
An Isaac success. Okay. I think it's me next on 48 points. I'm trying to be positive about my wild card because I think the team that I would have had if I hadn't wildcarded, Bernardo Silva wouldn't have played. Mkhitaryan would have just come on for 1 point. Arnautovic wouldn't have scored. And I would still have had Alexander-Arnold, Mendy, Zaha, Aguero, Salah. So I think I've done a lot better than I would have done if I hadn't wildcarded, but I'm just gutted that at the last minute, I got rid of Hennessy and I got rid of Robertson, which was a big call. And instead of those guys, I went for Edison in goal because I thought their fixtures at home over the next four games looked like clean sheet bankers. Obviously, that proved wrong. And Alexander-Arnold instead of Robertson because I thought Liverpool's fixtures, as Ben was saying, aren't great. And I'd be much more comfortable putting a 5 million Liverpool defender on the bench than a 6 million Liverpool defender. But Robertson came in and got the assist, looked really dangerous, as he has done. So I think that might punish me. We'll have to see. Rotation might affect Alexander-Arnold, but I've still got Wan-Bissaka on the bench. Apart from that, yeah, I mean, it's very template. It's quite similar to you guys. Alonso came in. Mendy came in. Hazard, my vice-captain. Walcott. My kind of difference to you guys is Fraser from Bournemouth, who didn't really do anything against Chelsea, but I wasn't expecting too much. I think it's the games going forward where I'm looking to him. He's on set pieces, although that looks to be slightly challenged now because they're playing for the first time. Rico, one of their new signings, got a few set pieces off Fraser against Chelsea. So hopefully that doesn't continue, but that's one to keep an eye on. Yeah, apart from that, Bennett on my bench got points. That's about it from me. I think I'm looking forward now to our team slowly becoming a little bit different because I think that wildcarding this time in the season, everyone's going for very similar, because there's only a limited amount of data to go on. Everyone's going for very similar players. But on the whole, I think it's paid off fairly well. Okay, Andy, next we're coming to you. How many points did you get this week?
So it says 37 at the moment, but I have Doherty to come in for Zaha, who didn't play, so that'll take me to 43. The big differential between me and you guys, I think, is that I don't have Hazard, which I had considered very hard playing my wild card last week, just like you did, which would have been like a clean sweep of wild cards for us in 1 week. I didn't do that because the things that I wanted to do were to either keep or lose Morata. Like I should give him another week before deciding to do that. And also because I wanted to get in Fraser and Wilson, and I didn't want to transfer them in on a week when they're about to play Chelsea. So I've still got my team, but I have wildcarded already for the next week, which I think is also beneficial because if anyone gets injured during the international break, I can ditch them and not have them stuck in my team. So my game week this week was still with my old team with a couple of changes. I got points for Shaw getting a clean sheet. Mendy kept a clean sheet. I got Lucas Moura got the assist on the own goal in that game. So although he lost, he got points. Aguero was my captain. He got an assist as well. So he gave me 12 points and Doherty got a clean sheet. But other than that, it was a pretty dud week. But it's not, since it was such a low scoring week in general, I don't think it's as bad a week as I had the previous week where Aubameyang and Sané were really letting me down. Having Aguero and Morata in this week was obviously much, much better than that. So I think I'm slowly but surely making progress, and I'm pleased with my decision to play my wild card this week because some things have happened this week. Like you mentioned, Rico taking corners. I can put him in now, which nobody else would have done.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear about more about your wild card when we come to transfers later on. But yeah, I think let's crack on and move on to the game week's preview for game week 5. And the first one is you again, Andy, Spurs-Liverpool.
So Spurs-Liverpool, I think, has kind of been turned on its head by the Spurs result this weekend. I think everybody was expecting Spurs to beat Watford, and that sort of be the bursting of the bubble for Watford. But that's not what happened. It was actually Spurs that ended up getting their bubble burst, and Watford who kept their record intact. So Spurs will come back, I think, with a vengeance. They'll want to bounce back strong against Liverpool. Conversely, Liverpool have looked very, very strong, particularly in defence this season, with the exception of Alisson's wobble this week. So I think that's going to be a really interesting game and a tough one to call. I'm going to say a Spurs victory, which interestingly, I'm saying because they lost this week, I was going to say a Liverpool victory, but I think Spurs will come back like doubly determined. I think the way that Klopp's reacted to Liverpool's last result, which could have gone the other way, has been a bit lightweight. And I think that Spurs could give them a shock.
Even with Liverpool's 100% record at the moment?
Even with 100%. I realise that this is people are going to say. I think most people are going to say Liverpool are better than Spurs, therefore Liverpool will win it. I'm a little bit worried about Salah this season. He hasn't looked like the 40-odd goal player he was last season. I think that's really, really important for them, but it's gone under the radar a little bit because they've been winning and he did score a goal. I think that the bedrock of their record has been their really strong defence. But I back Spurs to score in that game, and it'll rely on a bit more of last season's Liverpool to beat Spurs, which I don't think is really what they are this year. So it'll be very, very interesting. It's a difficult one to call. I'm not like really sure that Spurs are going to win it, but that's my prediction.
I like the sound effects of a door opening for Spurs, an opportunity for Spurs in this game in the background. My only thing I'd say in response to that would be Salah's stats are still looking good. He might not have got as many goals as the stats kind of bear out, but I think his performance levels in terms of, from a stats point of view, haven't dropped. It's just the conversion rate of finishing.
It's also his influence on games seems to have waned a little bit. Like last season, every single game you'd look at him and think, how many is he going to score today? He doesn't look like that player at the moment. I don't know whether it's because of his injury or whether all of the stuff that's been going on with the Egypt national team has been like weighing on his mind. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't look quite as much of a world beater as he did last year to me. And I think it's in games like this one, Spurs away, where they'd look to him. I'm not really seeing as much of it. I mean, he's still a great player, but I'm not seeing the same sort of world beater as I was last season.
I'm looking forward to your wildcard team without Mo Salah. I think that could be a big differential, and it could really pump some money into the rest of your team. So that might be a great shout. You've been great with the predictions recently. You predicted, I think, Wolves to get a result against West Ham last week. You predicted Lacazette as your gut punch. So I think go with your gut and get rid of Salah.
I listened to you before and it didn't do me any good. So, Duncan, I'm not paying any attention to you anymore.
damn it. Come on. You've got to be different. Dare to be different. Next up, it's Bournemouth-Leicester. And that's one for me. I think I put both these teams on a similar level this season. Both like to play good football. They're both pretty attacking and defensively. Neither of them look yet very strong. So I think this is similar to how I would have predicted the Bournemouth Everton game a couple of weeks ago. I predict goals for this one. I predict, you know, something like a 2-2 draw, high scoring draw. I can't say exactly, but yeah, definitely goals. I think Fraser, Wilson, King on penalties, good shouts. And then for Leicester, Demarai Gray starting up front ahead of Iheanacho this week at 5.5 as a midfielder. I know Vardy's going to be coming back now, but that surely says that Claude Puel puts a lot of faith in Demarai Gray and likes him in those advanced positions. So, yeah, Madison still looking dangerous this game week. Chilwell getting forward. Pereira sometimes featuring instead of right back in the front three. Yeah, I see goals. Anyone else want to chip in on this one?
No, agree. No. Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Ben. Let's move on then. Chelsea Cardiff. I think this is one for Matt.
Everyone's sort of whipping boys this season so far, although they've got quite a lot in their early games. They got off the mark today, but they still lost. I think Chelsea comfortably win this one. I don't think many people would disagree with that. So probably a 2-0 or 3-0. And hopefully Alonso and Hazard doing their usual magic.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I think the only thing I'd pick up on from the Arsenal-Cardiff game is Cardiff from set pieces, and especially Morrison, their centre-back, looking very dangerous from set pieces. So if they're going to get anything, I think that's probably the most likely route. But yeah, I couldn't see anything past a Chelsea win here.
Yeah, I think the main debating point is Pedro to be carrying some very good form?
Yeah, he definitely does. He's keeping up with Hazard at the moment. Yeah, one for the wild card, potentially, Andy. Okay, Ben, you've got Huddersfield versus Crystal Palace.
I think depends on, I think I talked about this a little bit earlier on Palace's injuries. I think if they get Zaha and Tompkins back, I would back them to win this. But you saw this weekend without them, surprising home loss to Southampton. Also Huddersfield, surprising draw away from home to Everton, despite, I think we were backing Everton and to win that one. So I would go a draw if Palace don't have their main men back. And if they do, I might back them to slightly edge it. But who knows?
So if they don't have Zaha and Tompkins back, what are you saying?
I think it could be a draw, yeah. Or maybe even Huddersfield to win. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
they look way, way worse without Zaha. Like Benteke, it's just I didn't see the highlights, but I read he was just completely terrible and awful. So I think they really need Zaha back.
I heard the stat on Match of the Day last night that they didn't win any games last season without Wilfried Zaha. So yeah, it's a huge factor for them. Pretty damning statistic. Okay, Andy, what do you reckon about Man City Fulham? Surely this is an easy one for you.
Well, it's the easy thing is to say Man City are going to win, right? Because, but one thing that I picked out last week was that they have a habit of winning 6-1 rather than 6-0. And so they conceded this week again. It may be that someone like Mitrovic could be, despite the fact that you normally think, well, Fulham are going to lose, they're playing Man City, I don't want to pick Mitrovic. But against City, that might not be just the same equation, because they do have a habit of conceding that one goal. And the kind of player that he is, with like good with his head, strong, like aggressive, I feel like he might be the kind of player that would get that one goal. Of course, I think City are going to win. Of course, I'll be captaining Aguero. But I think that it's as well, is that although he does bomb down the wing, I think he's not going to get that many clean sheets this season. So while everyone's rushed to get him into their team at the start of the season, if the assists dry up, I don't think he's going to get as many points as he would be in a team that defends better. So this is I think this is going to be a really interesting game for followers of Man City players, because we'll see whether those goals that they conceded against Newcastle and Huddersfield are like freaks, or whether they're like indicative of a wider trend.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people bring in Mitrovic this week, and like you said, are they going to keep him in the team for this game? But he's also most likely to be on penalties with Kearney being out. I don't know if Kearney's still going to be out for this game, game week 5, but if he is, then Mitrovic, surely another avenue for goals for him.
Yeah, could well be.
Okay, next up it's Newcastle-Arsenal. This is one for me as an Arsenal fan. I see this game fairly similar to the game week we've just had away to Cardiff for Arsenal. Playing against a packed defence, looking for set pieces and looking to snatch a goal. Arsenal, I think, will concede. I think yet to keep a clean sheet this season. And defensively looking quite dodgy with Petr Cech still passing out from the back, Emery still insisting that they try and build from the back in this very kind of dangerous style when teams just press high and cause chaos. I think Benitez will surely pick up on that, and that's something he might target. I think I see him sticking with Lacazette and Aubameyang. It's paid dividends in the last game, and I think they can probably start building on that. Aubameyang looks slightly off the pace, but still got a great goal. So if he's on fire or on better form against Newcastle, I think he's something to be wary of. Newcastle, I'd watch out to see if Shelvey's back, because I think his ability on the ball is something that where Newcastle could actually have a chance of building against Arsenal or counter-attacking with a ball over the top. There's not many players in the Premier League better than Shelvey with a long ball over the top. So, I think keep an eye on whether he's available. But I see this as a win for Arsenal. I think they'll concede, but I think they'll have too much in attack for Newcastle. Anyone else want to chip in on that?
A question for you, Duncan. Are you worried, since Newcastle, despite being such a heavily defensive side, they've scored against Chelsea, they've scored against City, you just conceded two this week. Are you worried about this being like, to Cardiff, right? Another like really poor attacking side. Are you worried that this could end up being like a 3-3?
Yeah, and we've had that in the past against Newcastle. We've had 4-4. We've had upsets in the northeast. So that is something I'm wary of. And I know that Newcastle can defend as well. I think they've been a little bit shaky this season so far, but they can line up with five at the back and keep things tight if you're not fully on form. So yeah, I am slightly aware of it. I know last week we were speculating about the Arsenal fullbacks, but having watched the Cardiff game live this season today, I wouldn't be bringing in any Arsenal defenders right now. Not until I see a couple of clean sheets and then shoring things up at the back, because it's still slight chaos at the back for Arsenal. Okay, Watford-Man United. Matt, what do you reckon?
So my head says Man U will lose. My heart says Man U will win, because being a Man United fan. Watford have started the season with maximum points, just beating Tottenham at home, looking very good, strong side. Man U have started the season shakily, don't really seem to know what formation they want to play or what style of football they want to play. And Mourinho's alienating himself from the rest of his dressing room. They did win today, though, so you mean you never know. I mean, Man U and Mourinho do often have strong teams still. We did finish second last season. Splitting my head and my heart, I'm going to go for a draw with this one. I reckon maybe something like a 1-1 or 2-2. But somehow the narrative being very negative for Man U, like a late equaliser for Watford, which makes it feel like a win for them.
I think that's a really good shout. I think Watford definitely love playing the big boys, and Troy Deeney especially. So that's something that they'll relish this one. Okay, I'm gonna ask for input from Andy and Ben, also Man U fans.
I think Watford will win this one.
Like, Duncan, you watched the Watford Spurs game, right?
I did, yeah.
Will Watford value for money for their win? I guess is my question.
The second half, they were. It was really a brilliant second half from Watford. They've got quality players. I think Matt picked up on it a couple of weeks ago. Doucouré is a really good player, quality player. Hughes has now come back from injury, and they've got Cholobas at the back with his set pieces, who I think called out the start of the season when we were talking about Watford defenders. Cabasele is having an incredible season. Deeney, once he's on form, he is a little bit of a juggernaut, and he just kind of gets penalties, gets decisions. And Andre Gray is showing a bit of form, which he hasn't done really at Watford yet. So, yeah, I think I would be worried if I was a Man U fan.
Well, I'm rooting for Mourinho out. So a heavy loss to Watford definitely has a silver lining. There are lots of ways that Watford could win this game. It could be like Deeney annoys Smalling and then Smalling gets sent off and then Watford win it. It could be that Watford just are better than us and Pereira gets a hat-trick and they absolutely dominate the game. Ways that Man United can win this game, I don't really see us doing any of those things. It might be sort of a scrappy Lukaku goal that, you know, turns into a 1-0 and again, it really has no quality in it. But I know he's almost willing Watford to win it because I think they're a better side than Man United this season.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to move on because we're not going to come to a definite consensus, but it's definitely an exciting game to watch, that's for sure, ignoring fantasy football. Wolves-Burnley, Ben, this is one for you. What do you reckon? Wolves to continue their good form?
Yeah, so Burnley look completely out of sorts. I watched the game this morning, Man United-Burnley. I think a couple of us called out that with Europa League, their players kind of look tired. They're now out of the Europa League. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get their identity back. But I think Wolves at home, I predict like a 1-0. I think Wolves look pretty solid. They showed that away to West Ham. So I'm hoping for a Wolves 1-0. Given that I have some Wolves defenders.
Will they be featuring in your first 11?
I think so. I think I'm going to play Patricio, who played a blinder this weekend, made a lot of good saves. So,
He's looked great so far.
Yeah, so I'm going to back a Wolves win here.
I think I agree with you, and I think quite a few of us have Wolves defenders or goalkeepers. I definitely have Bennett at 4.0, who's on the list to go in my team if Tompkins isn't back for Crystal Palace. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm guessing the other guys are as well. If not, jump in. If not, we're going to move on to Everton-West Ham, and that's one for Andy.
This is a really interesting game as well. I think I've got quite a few difficult ones to predict this week. Everton haven't looked as good as I thought they were going to be, especially without Richarlison. This is their last game before he returns from suspension. West Ham obviously have had a terrible run of fixtures, but haven't looked hopeless in them. Arnautovic has looked like a dangerous throughout, so has Felipe Anderson. I really think this could go either way. I definitely think there are going to be goals. So, sort of the goal-scoring players, so the likes of Arnautovic and Anderson, maybe Antonio, the likes of Sigurdsson, definitely not Jane Tosson, could be players to be selecting this week.
How about Walcott?
Struggling to say which way this is going to go. So I'm going to say a score draw, maybe a 2-2 draw between these two. But I wouldn't be surprised if either won it 3-2.
Do you think that Walcott was a mistake for all those managers who brought him in? Has he trolled us?
No.
I don't. Because I don't have him on my wild card. And both you and Matt, Duncan and Matt, have him. And as soon as he got injured, I was so happy. I can't tell you guys how happy I was.
I can imagine.
The thing with Walcott, though, is he's not like definitely out, and he's got the entire international break to recover. I don't think it's a rib injury, so it's not like he's done his knee ligaments or something, so he can recover from that in 2 weeks. And when he comes back, he's still going to be like one of their most attacking and most likely goal scorers. So I think overall, if he's going to get injured, now is the time. And I think that as an overall pick, he's still strong. So I don't think he's really that. He's not Callum Wilson troll proportion, to put it that way.
I think that's a good shout. I think it's hold off that rage transfer if you can. We've got 2 weeks to just see and look at the news and injury updates and things like that. So, yeah, I think that's a good shout. Bit of patience. Good shout, Andy. So you're going for a high-scoring game? High-scoring draw, possibly?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-2. So goals for maybe 2 for Sigurdsson, 1 for Anderson, 1 for Arnie. That's my shout.
Okay, that's very specific. And if that comes up, that's one of the greatest predictions. God, you're on a roll. Next up is the last fixture to preview. That's me with Southampton versus Brighton. I've done a bit of research into this one because I wasn't sure. It wasn't something that kind of jumped straight out at me, because Southampton I've been predicting against so far this season, but they surprised me against Crystal Palace, getting their 2-0 win. And Brighton, I found them quite hard to predict. But looking at it, stats-wise, I think it's easier than it seems. Brighton are yet to score away from home. As we all know, Brighton are very strong at home. Away from home, they're a very different prospect. Yet to score this season away from home. Southampton, despite my predicting against them so far, have kept 2 clean sheets in 4 games. So I think I see a clean sheet for Southampton based on those stats. And I don't have to be stuck in my ways. I can change my mind about them. I see a clean sheet for Southampton, and I think Danny Ings is on form. Southampton are at home, so they have the advantage in terms of that. Yeah, I see a narrow win for Southampton, maybe 1-0, something like that. Anyone else got any ideas on this one? Because it is a tough one.
I think that's a good shout. Predictable, so it really could go. It feels like the first goal might win that game, because both sides are scoring this season, I don't think.
Yeah.
Although Glenn Murray, under the radar in none of our teams, is having a blinder of a season. It was him that won the penalty for them this week, even though they missed it. And he's just defying the years and still being a definitely Premier League quality striker, despite the fact that he's really old and slow, but so wily. So
yeah, I think in Match of the Day they put up a graphic to say that he was the 8th highest scorer in the last calendar year in the Premier League, which is for a 35-year-old quite impressive. Yeah, I think he's a good shout. And also, my gut punt from last week was Pascal Gross. He got the penalty. Unfortunately, he missed it. And then after the game, Chris Hughton, the Brighton manager, was interviewed about who's your penalty taker now? Is it going to change? And he definitely didn't say, no, it's Pascal. He's going to stay with him. It sounded like he's considering moving it to Murray. So that could be a great shout, Andy.
Actually, that reminds me, I need to do a special shout out to Nate, our friend Nathan. And he he triple captained this week, and he triple captained Pascal Gross.
That's good. Pascal Gross got minus one overall.
Yeah, he got minus one overall, so that got tripled up to a minus. To make everyone better about themselves.
That is brilliant. That is my fault. Sorry, Nathan. Okay, so now I've got you, Matt. I'm going to come to you for your whipping boy for game week 5. Who do you reckon?
I think it's the game I predicted, Chelsea against Cardiff. Is that Lily good at, but I think quality-wise...
I just missed you there. I think your sound dropped out. Do you mind saying that again?
All right. I think Chelsea-Cardiff is probably the one. I know that Cardiff may be good at set pieces and whatnot, but Chelsea are just a much better than them. Could rack up a bit of a...
Yeah, I like the prospect of Eden Hazard against Cardiff. That sounds excellent for a Hazard owner.
Yeah, he's me.
Captain choice, yeah, potentially. Andy, what about you for whipping boys this week? Do you agree with that?
I do, but I feel obliged to say something different from Matt. And interestingly, when I looked through the fixtures to try and find someone who I thought was likely to lose a game, I got down as far as Watford, Man U, and my heart sunk. So I thought, oh God, that could really happen, couldn't it? So that might be a really out there prediction.
Man United, the whipping boys.
I don't know. I don't want to say that. Maybe it's just like the inherent pessimist in me as a Man United fan right now. It's just my heart tells me bad things whenever I see the names on a fixture list. But I obviously Chelsea Cardiff is the obvious pick. Yeah.
Okay. I differ from you guys. I think that Chelsea are at home to Cardiff, but Man City are at home to Fulham, and I think that out of those two teams, Fulham or Cardiff, I back Cardiff over those two to put up a 5-man defence and be able to hold out if either of them are going to hold out or keep the score down low. I'd see Fulham as going to Man City, being positive, not just sitting behind the ball with 11 men. I think they might try and play some football, and I think that'll be their downfall. So I'd pick Fulham as my whipping boys this week. What about you, Ben?
I was going to go Cardiff. Just because when I watch the City game, I mean, I agree Fulham will definitely play more team football and that will leave them potentially more open. But I thought City were kind of complacent against Newcastle. And I don't know if it's Pep's rotations and some new players like Mahrez not really fitting into the system yet, but they kind of look kind of meh against Newcastle. So I would pick Chelsea Cardiff as the whipping boys.
Okay, so it's Cardiff. There are whipping boys this week, with a small caveat that I am against it, but we'll see. What about gut punts? Andy, who's your gut punt for game week 5?
I've gone very specific with Everton West Ham, which kind of feels like I've already filled this section up.
Yeah. Think Tottenham, do you?
Say again?
You think Tottenham to get off the mark?
Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if... Now that I've specifically said that he's not going to score in this game if he gets a hat-trick. But I think this could be one where Sigurdsson gets points, either as the assistant because he's on free kicks and corners, or scores a free kick himself, maybe scores a penalty himself. Gylfi Sigurdsson's my gut punt this week.
Okay. Matt, who's your gut punt?
I mean, talking about Arsenal, sort of like to get caught out on the counter attack, and Rafa Benitez's wily tactical way. I'm going to go for Salomon Rondon to do a Premiership best of 5 goals in a season and get one of those 5 goals.
Salomon Rondon, my hero from last season.
Do you know it just seems so natural that he'd then score.
Yeah.
Do you know, Matt, that's a really good shout with one caveat, which is that Benito seems to love Hozelu so much. And he, I think he was missing this week because of his injury the previous week. He went off with an ice pack. So he may return to the starting lineup and then Rondon loses his place.
Yeah, well, he seems to be favouring both of them. Maybe Hozelu slightly more, but both of them are getting minutes. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see who starts. But even if Hozelu doesn't finish the full game and Rondon comes on, it's potential. Ben, have we come to you yet? Who's your gut punt for this week?
My gut punt is Tosin. If we keep choosing him every week, the gut punt, actually, he'll come good. So
that's what you're basing it on.
I think he'll get off the mark against West Ham, so I'm going with Tosin.
Is he passing the eye test for you?
I do not want to, but sure.
This is a stab in the dark. I'm not sure about this prediction. Moving swiftly on, I think my prediction, I think I mentioned it before, and Andy's hinted to it as well. I think I'm looking at Watford to get a result against Man United. Watford at home. I picked out Hollabas when Matt put Cabasele in his team. I was saying, surely Hollabas. Hollabas is on fire. He's up there with Ram this season. Another two assists to follow up on his two assists earlier this season and his goal last week. He's on fire. He's an alternative to Ram to break that template. And he's not my gut punt for this week. I just wanted to shout out him. It's actually Troy Deeney, who I think once he gets on a roll, he's unstoppable and he loves giving it to the big teams, especially big teams with problems. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him laughing in Mourinho's face on the touchline, something like that. Okay, clean sheets. Ben, I'm going to come to you first for your clean sheet.
I am going to go with Chelsea.
I think that's fair. Matt, who's your clean sheet? Second most likely.
I think Man City, being at home and probably have 80% possession.
Okay. Andy?
My first pick still hasn't been said. My first pick would have been Wolves.
Yeah, I think that's up there, definitely. I think I'm going to go for Southampton next. I've backed them in my preview, so I'm going to stick with that one. Back to you, Ben.
I will go Huddersfield, maybe. If Zaha's not back.
Okay, if Zaha's not back, Huddersfield. Matt, can you see any more?
Not really, but maybe Bournemouth would be my next favourites to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, I think that's probably where we end. So, yeah, there's quite a few there to take a pit. Next up, we've got captains and transfers. Andy, I'm going to come to you first with your wild card.
Yeah, so my team, I've obviously wildcarded this week, and I have done it for a specific reason this week that I wanted to wait until after the Bournemouth-Chelsea game to see Wilson and Fraser come in with an easy run of games. So I've obviously transferred both of those two in. I have brought in Lacazette for Morata because Morata looks completely useless and Lacazette looks amazing this season. That week has given me a chance to see Rico taking corners. So I've got another Bournemouth player in there, three Bournemouth players now. So I'm really hoping for a good run of results from their easy fixtures. So I've got a very different looking side now because of that. I've also changed both of my goalkeepers. So before I had Pickford as basically my main goalkeeper and Fabianski as the reserve. I now have Patricio, who I really wanted. I thought he looked really, really good this week. So I was looking for a player who would dovetail in terms of fixtures with Patricio. And I noticed that Newcastle and Wolves seem to have fixtures that where one's got an easy fixture, the other one's got a hard fixture and vice versa. So at the moment, I have Dubravka and Patricio as my goalkeepers, which feels like a gut punt and I'm not overly happy with it. But I've got 2 weeks to fix it if not. So that's where it lands at the moment. So that's all the kind of basic bits. But the really big decision I have with my wild card this week is, do I want to keep Salah or do I want to switch him out for Hazard? Now, that seems, based on last season, like a really stupid thing to do. But as we spoke about earlier in the pod, Salah, I don't think, is looking like the player he was last season. But I currently don't have Marcos Alonso. So if I drop Salah, bring in Hazard and save money, I can then afford to switch out either Luke Shaw or Alexander Arnold for Alonso, which would be a big win. And given how well Hazard's doing this season, I might not lose in terms of points by switching Salah out for him. So that's my big decision I've got this week. And I'm not, these 2 weeks, I've got 2 weeks to make that decision. The last thing I'm really looking out for is Mkhitaryan. Didn't play this week. So if I've got a bit of extra cash, at the moment I have 0.9 million in the bank, which would mean I could transfer out Mkhitaryan for somebody who's worth 8 million, which I might do. If I do the Salah thing with Alonso coming in for Shaw, I end up with 1.7 million in my bank. So I could look for a more expensive player to replace Mkhitaryan with and therefore strengthen my midfield. And the overall impact there might be greater than even if the Salah transfer doesn't come off. So that's the big, big decision I've got to wait for this week. So my team could look very, very different come game week. If I do transfer in Hazard, he's definitely going to be captain against Cardiff because we often identify them as whipping boys, and that's no different this week. If Hazard doesn't come in, then I'm probably looking at Aguero as my captain.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting times. I would push for you to go without Salah because I think you're a bit far behind everyone else and you need that differential. The only thing I'd urge caution with in terms of stats on Hazard, I noticed this week that he only had two attempts on goal this game week and only one of those was in the box. So he got his goal, but in terms of stats, he wasn't kind of terrifying in terms of stats. So that's something to bear in mind. I love that you've stuck to your guns on Lacazette. He was your prediction and he's in your team and I think that's amazing. And I love that you've gone with a completely maverick pick of Rico, who surely no one has in their team. That is truly maverick because he's only had one start. But if he's on corners and it works out and he gets you a few assists, then yeah, good start.
He's 8.5. One thing I'm really annoyed about is Doherty, who I picked really early. As after game week one, I transferred him in thinking, great, he's a midfielder, but he's a defender in the game. Then he scores an own goal and everyone's transferred him out because he scored an own goal, which is really unfortunate because that doesn't happen very often. And now he's dropped in value. So annoying.
Is he still in your wildcard draft?
Yeah, he is. I think he looks like a great pick. He gets forward, he puts it into the box. I think I've seen him in positions where he looked like he was about to score. So I still think he's a great pick, but hopefully everyone else will lose him and he'll be a differential for me.
Yeah, good shout. Guys, do you have any comments for Andy on his wildcard? Any tips and advice?
The only other thing is to maybe consider is Mane. I think Mane's playing really well. I don't know if I was wildcarding this week, maybe I could get away with a Mane and Hazard instead of Salah. But I don't know. That would be my only other thought. It seems like Mane could potentially be a mainstay this season.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't like their run of fixtures. So
yeah,
if I wanted to, I could very easily downgrade from Hazard to Mane in the future because he's obviously cheaper. Or you know, with future transfers. The player I'm really looking out for is when Kevin De Bruyne comes back and starts playing because he's a couple of million cheaper than Salah and a very, very regular point getter. I think it makes a big difference to the City team. And given they're still doing well, but they haven't been blowing some of the teams away that we expected them to. I think he's definitely going to, like Pep's obviously waiting for him to come back as well. So I'm eagerly anticipating that too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good show. Okay, Matt, what about your... Oh, sorry, Andy, who was your captain for this week, potentially?
Well, it depends. If I have Hazard, it'll be Hazard. If I don't, it'll be Aguero.
Okay. Matt, what about your captains and transfers?
So I'm going to look out on Mkhitaryan and Walcott and what the team news is about them and injury updates on Walcott. out for someone like Pedro. That's what I'm thinking about at the moment. But ideally, I'd try and save a transfer just after a wild card so I can maybe have two the game week after.
Yeah. And captaincy?
It's stuck on Hazard at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of people, if they've got Hazard on their team, it's very tempting at the moment. Ben, are you the same? I mean, you haven't differed too much to Matt on your wild card, so what about your transfers and captain?
Yeah, I'm going to give Mkhitaryan another week, unless something comes out in conference that I don't know, for some reason, he's definitely not going to play. I'm hoping it's just random rotation, not sure. But maybe you know as an Arsenal fan. And currently I have Hazard as my captain, Aguero as my vice. Although your whole spiel about Fulham being more attacking does kind of make sense. So I'll probably spend the next 2 weeks flipping back and forth between those two players and spending way too much time thinking about it. But right now it's on Hazard.
There was that terrifying quote from Pep this week where he said, yeah, Sane's missed out this week. He's not in the squad at all. But we have six strikers. Next week, it could be Sergio. It could be Jesus. It could be Mahrez. It could be anyone who misses out. So that is still the worry with Aguero. He's, despite the fact that he started every game, he's still not. He can still never be relied on to always be in the squad or start. So, yeah, the safe bet, I would say, is with Hazard.
Yeah, and the one other thing is, I think this is the Premier League game before Champions League starts. And obviously Chelsea not in the Champions League. So maybe that's another good reason to put it on Hazard, is there won't be any resting. So maybe I'll keep on him.
Yeah. Okay, what about Europa League?
Yeah, screw Europa League. Unless you win. Okay.
Yeah, which you did. Nice one. Good for you. Okay, Andy, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, with Mkhitaryan, I'm thinking very hard about his place in my team, because I have a worry that maybe Emery believes that with Lacazette and Aubameyang both playing, he needs more defensive solidity in the midfield. And so Mkhitaryan doesn't fit into a team that has both Aubameyang and Lacazette in it. That might be why he missed out this week.
I don't know about that. He played Ozil, who is not a man for tracking back or putting in challenges. So I think, as an Arsenal fan, I think what I've seen this season is I've seen players miss out in those front three positions. It could be any of, you know, Ramsey missed out on one game. Mkhitaryan's missed out on one game. Lacazette has missed out on three games. It's just a lottery. He's just rotating, I think. He's rotating trying to find his best team, but he's also just rotating in general, probably, in terms of fitness and sharpness. So I think they're always going to be in danger. I think you have Aubameyang, who's probably never going to miss out because he can play up front on his own or he can play on the left. But apart from that, I'd say it's anyone's game. So, yeah, that would be my input. What were you saying in terms of transfers, Ben? You're saying you're going to probably hold Mkhitaryan. Any other transfers you're thinking about?
Yeah, I'm going to try and bank one, see what happens with Mickey, and then try and maybe next week I'll do the following week I'll make two transfers or maybe three.
Okay.
Seeing on how things go.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking about the same thing next game week. I'm going to try and hold out and wait for team news as late as I can on Zaha and Walcott. Hopefully they can be back. They've got 2 weeks to come back. And they've got great fixtures. Walcott, West Ham at home, Zaha with Huddersfield away. So hopefully try and bank a transfer. But if not, then one of those guys will go, whichever one doesn't make it back in time. Okay, I think that's about us for this week. Any more business, guys, or should we wrap it up?
Nope, that's...
A resounding silence. Okay. Good luck on your wild card, Andy. Enjoy changing things around and keep an eye on the internationals.
Definitely need it.
Nice one. And I'll see you guys next week. Well, see you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
All the best.
All right. Bye.
Cool. Bye. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.